Parshat Yitro begins, Vayishmar Yitro, Yitro, the minister of Midian, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard everything that God did to Moshe and to Israel, his people, that Hashem had taken Israel out of Egypt. And Yitro comes, his father-in-law takes Zipporah, wife of Moshe, and his two children, Gershon and Eliezer. So we all know the very famous Rashi on Vayishma Yitro, and Yitro heard. Rashi asked, Mashmua Shama Uva, what is, this is source number 3, what was that which Yitro heard that made him come? Right, Yitro, the Chote Moshe, heard everything that Hashem did. So Rashi says, what did he hear? Mashmua Shama Uva, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard about the splitting of the sea, and he heard about Melchamed Amalek, the War of Amalek. So the obvious question is, and this is the question that many of the Mefarshim ask, source number 4 of Birnbaum Mekorei Shmo, he named Pshatan Shel Dvarim Hayan Yireh Demashe Garam Akirat Yitro Mimakom Dirato Lavov Liyodim Amisavim Bar Haytash Me'ato Kol Sher Asad Lokim Lo Shel Yisrael Amo. You take a look at the Chumash itself, it tells you what Yisro heard. He heard everything that God did to Moshe and to Israel's people, that Hashem had taken Israel out of Egypt. So why is Rashi coming and asking, well, what did Yitro hear? Hello, I'll tell you what he heard. The Chumash itself tells him. He heard how the Jewish people were taken out by the Ribono Shel Olam from Egypt. So Rashi's question even, what does he hear, doesn't even seem to make sense, because the Chumash itself tells us what he heard. V'im kein tzarech iyun minayin lahu lechazel d'shmiyim oros chus mi'elu palu v'garmu apiyat yisro ad shikshu mashmur shemalva. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what is driving Chazal, Rashi's quoting Chazal, the Medrash, to try to find what were specific things that Yitro heard when the Chumash itself tells us what he heard. So he says, v'nira d'kuzo v'imad d'chtiv batar kein. Perhaps it is not from here that Chazal learned it, but from what's written later on. It says, Vayavo Yitro el Amidbar, that Yitro came to the desert. And Chazal say, and this is again Medrash and Rashi brings in source number 3, we all know it was the desert, right? Where else were they? We're in Midbar Sinai. Ela b'shivcho shel Yitro diberakatu. This is to show you the greatness of Yitro. Back in source number 3, third line. Shaya Yoshev Bichvodo Shel Olam. He was sitting, you know, with all the honor and glory in his home, beautiful house. V'nadvo libo latzedo l'midbar, and he was inspired to go schlep himself to the midbar, a place of nothingness, to hear Divrei Torah. So here, this is what is driving Chazal. Mashmua Shama Uvam. What Rashi is trying to get at here is something much deeper. Not what did Yitro hear? Of course he heard about Yitziat Mitzrayim. But the language of Rashi is Mashmua Shama Uva. What did he hear that was inspirational to come? And particularly El HaMidbar. It wasn't like he was, you know, taking a jet plane, his private jet, to Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a schlep in the desert. Schlepping in the desert, the Mekorei Shmo goes on to describe, was a schlep. You didn't necessarily have food, you didn't have water, it was an uncomfortable travel, right? It was difficult. What is driving Yitro to do such a arduous trip, to schlep out from a comfortable air-conditioned home to the hot desert? What was driving him? Ela mishum shenetvo libo lishmo divrei Torah yifkir atzmo l'sakanot v'yunim elu davar shadam rakil lo haya oseh. Obviously, it was because he wanted to learn Torah that he's putting himself into such a difficult position. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what was it about the experience of Klal Yisrael that was the impetus that brought him to come? As great as Yitziat Mitzrayim was, there must have been something more specific that was driving him right now, 40 days later, 50 days later, to come out. And we have to ask ourselves, what was the greatness of Kriyas Yam Suf? What was the greatness of the War of Amalek, Melchamed Amalek? And in fact, with the War of Amalek in 5b, Yoshua doesn't even destroy them. He was just Vaychalosh, he just weakened them. So, you know, if they won the war, I can understand, maybe that would be an impetus to show the strength of Klal Yisrael, but they didn't even win the war, they just weakened them. There must be something about the Kriyas Yam Suf and the Melchamed Amalek, which would be even greater than what? Even greater than Yetziat Mitzrayim. I mean, Yetziat Mitzrayim was pretty intense. So this is our question for today, my friends. It's a very basic question. Ma Shmua Shama Uva, when Rashi says, what did he hear that was the inspiration for him to come? What we're really trying to understand today, Mirtz Hashem, is what was it that drew Yisroel to leave his home, to come and be Meskayer, to come and convert, and not even just keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach where he is. What's driving him to leave his comfortable home, to schlep out into the desert, to join the Jewish people in the desert? There must have been something so incredible that drew him out of his home, out of the comfort of his home. And Rashi seems to say, and it's very interesting, and the commentators point this out, there are three opinions in the Medrash. One is Kriyas Yam Suf, one, the splitting of the sea, one is the War of Amalek, and one is Mamad Har Sinai, the receiving of the Torah. Rashi brings two out of the three, and Rashi doesn't even say Dovar Acher, another interpretation. He links them together. Kriyas Yam Suf u'Melchamed Amalek, which is also very unusual for Rashi. Usually if it's two different ideas, he'll say Kriyas Yam Suf, Dovar Acher, another idea, Melchamed Amalek. Rashi links these two ideas of the Medrash together, which also is a part of our study today, we'll touch on it, is that there must be some connection between Kriyas Yam Suf and Melchamed Amalek together that was the impetus to draw Yisroel to come. So, my friends, I think we can divide this question of what inspired Yisroel to come on two levels. We'll call it the extrinsic level and the intrinsic level. And obviously, on both levels, extrinsic and intrinsic, we'll have various sub-levels, so to speak. So let's take a look at the extrinsic level. The Gan Na'ul brings a very famous medrash. Unfortunately, we've heard this medrash many a time at a tzaddik's funeral, particularly when we're dealing with a young person that dies. On the pasuk, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li haro'e b'shoshanim, I am to my beloved is to me, the one who pastures in the among the roses. And we usually hear only part of the medrash. This part of the medrash we usually don't focus in on, or we don't even hear. So let's listen. So, Dovar Acher, Dodi Yarad L'Gano, my beloved went down to his garden. So the medrash brings down the following. Dodi Yarad L'Gano Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the beloved who comes down into the garden? That's Hashem. Yarad L'Gano comes down to the garden, Zeh HaOlam. This is referring to this world. La'arugod HaBosem, to that which is sweet-smelling, Elu Yisrael. Beautiful garden, that's Klal Yisrael. L'Rop HaGonim, to also to be pasturing, to be involved in the other gardens, that's the nations of the world. V'Lulkot Shoshanim, and to gather the roses, these are the tzaddikim that Hashem takes among Klal Yisrael. And it's a mashal to what can this be compared? To a king, that he had a son, and this son was very beloved to him. What did the king do? He made from a pardes, he made from a beautiful orchard. B'shash haya ben oseh ritzono, whenever the son would do the will of God, haya machzer b'chol olam kulo, what would the father do? The king, he would look throughout the entire world and find what's a beautiful type of plant that he can bring to his son's orchard and plant it in this orchard. And when the son would not do the will of his father, he would then uproot some of the that which was planted in the garden. So likewise, when Klal Yisrael do the will of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks through the world and sees which tzaddik, which righteous person in Be'ovdei Elilim, among the nations of the world, can I bring and plant among Klal Yisrael? And that is, he says, Kegon Yisro v'Rachav. Examples of this are Yisro and Rachav. Right? Rachav had, the Chazal say, married Yeshua, had eight, from her eight descendants who were prophets and leaders. U'b'sha'ah shemachisim oto. And when Klal Yisrael angers Hashem, Hashem takes the righteous among them. He plucks these roses. So we see from here, let's just focus in on the our aspect of the Medrash, not about Hashem taking away tzaddikim early. Im kein hagerim hatzaddikim shemitabkim b'Yisrael hem b'zchut ha-mitzvot sh'Yisrael osim. When a ger tzedek, when a righteous Gentile comes to join the Jewish people, one should realize that this person who's coming to join the Jewish people is in the merit of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, doing the will of Hashem. And when they do this will of Hashem, otam mitzvah ba'atzma, in the dot, in source 7, that mitzvah itself, he ha-goremet gam v'po'el l'akrivet oto ger l'kadosh baruch hu. Right, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, how the actions of Jews just don't impact the here and now, they affect the world at large, right? When we do a mitzvah, right, we create that energy in that place for that mitzvah. We do an aveira, we create that energy in that place. When a Jew does a mitzvah, when Klal Yisrael does a mitzvah, it creates an energy, an aura, that a ger tzedek is going to want to be drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aidei sheshomea ger ma'oto inyanu mitpa'el. And particularly when the ger hears, the convert, potential convert, hears about this amazing thing, this is going to impact this person, and it's going to be the impetus for this person to convert. Therefore, this is the explanation, Mashmua shama da'afal pi shebetorah ktiv sheshama yitziyah mitzrayim. Now I can appreciate, says the Gan Na'ul, what the Rashi is saying. Of course, the Chumash says, what was the inspiration? What did Yisro hear? He heard Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim. But you know what? Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim wasn't enough to be an outside influence that was going to impact Yisro. Again, this is happening what we call Tat Noda, without even being consciously aware of this. Why? Because in Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, Adayim lo nikru mosim ritzono shomakol. Klal Yisrael weren't yet at a level of doing the will of God. When does this power of being able to have a magnetic pull to bring a convert in is when we're doing the will of God. But we know in Egypt, we were Arom Veria, we were denu, we were naked of any type of Torah mitzvos. It was only from the Avas Hashem, the love of Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles for us. Therefore, what was the impact? What affected Yisro is when Klal Yisrael themselves did something that created this energy in this world, when it came from the Yisruso de la'ila, the awakening of below, not just the awakening of above. And in both the miracle 8b in Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamed Amalek, you see the schus of the Amunah, you see the power of faith that Klal Yisrael had by the splitting of the sea. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yisau, tell the Jewish people, forward march. They jump in. That was the Amunah that they had. By the war of Amalek, when Moshe Rabbeinu held up his hand, Mishabim Elibam, Lavim Shema Shamayim, they were able to dedicate their soul to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were able to have that focus. V'shtei mitzvot eilu, shel halicha l'toch hayam. It's these two mitzvot in the bracket in 8b. The going into the sea and the dedication to their Father in heaven, that is what enabled, that was the schus, the merit, that enabled Kivyochol Hashem to bring Yisro into Klal Yisrael. And that's what you see from the technical aspects of the psukim, that when it talks about what Hashem did in, it begins with Shvetchila Mar Kol Shar Sa'alokim Mida Fadin, and only at the end does it say Ki Osi Hashem Et Yisrael Mitzrayim Midas Harachami. That Yisro heard all about these miracles, but he saw the difference. Is it coming from Midas Hadin or Midas Harachamim? When Hashem takes us out of Egypt, it was Midas Harachamim. It was because we didn't deserve it. It was pure love of Hashem. But when he sees the Elohim, he sees what God, the Master of Justice, did because we deserved it, because we did something to facilitate this aspect of miracles, At that point, that's what inspired Yisroel to join Klal Yisroel. It wasn't just when the Jewish people are passive, but when the Jewish people are actively involved in their commitment to Hashem, that they are then worthy of Hashem doing these miracles for them, that becomes the schus, that becomes the merit that then creates this desire, this, again, this magnetic field for the Gerim, in this case Yisroel and Rachav, to join the Jewish people. And indeed, we find in the beginning of Yoshua, when Rachav talks to the meraglim, to the spies, what does she say that impacted? We heard how Hashem dried up the land. It was Kriyas Yamsuf. It was when the Jewish people, not so much Yisrael Mitzrayim, it's the Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Jewish people themselves did something that showed their tremendous emunah, Vayeminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, that then created this energy of emunah for these Gerim to come join the people. We take this idea one step further. Again, this extrinsic, this outer force, which is bringing Yisroel to come. The Mishkat Shemen, Rav Kofman, brings down, again, this idea that these people were betachlis harichu. How did they have, they were at the epitome of distance, of tuma. How did they have the ability, the koach, lavov, lidvok, b'Hashem Yisparach, to come and cling to the Ribono Shel Olam? And he brings down the third idea that Rashi doesn't mention, which is Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah. At the receiving of the Torah, that was the energy. It's a question, did Yisroel come before receiving Torah or after, which we're not getting into now. That energy of receiving of the Torah created in the world, this is obvious, when the Jewish people said Nasav and Nishma, they were able to accept the Torah, that created that energy which allowed these higher souls, he calls it, to join Klal Yisroel. The idea the Mishkat Shemen brings, which is important for us, is he says that whenever there is a Hisorus, an awakening in this world, by Maman Har Sinai, receiving the Torah is a great awakening. That awakening doesn't just awaken the people there who are involved in the event, but that awakening awakes anybody who has a desire to be awakened, right? Rut would be a perfect example, where she joins Klal Yisroel. And he says this is true of us, that it could be a person feels that they themselves are very distant, or their hearts are hardened, and they don't feel connected. Know that when there is a great awakening happening, that awakening almost opens doors. As far as you are, as distant as you are, that awakening enables a person to, if a convert's able to come, Alachas kam v'kama, how much more so a Jew is able to come to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look at Source 12 on the next page. And we say, Yesh lanu lumod kal v'chomer. She'im b'giyorin amru kachav. This is so about a convert like Rut. Alachas kam v'kama, how much more so she. B'nei Yisrael HaKadoshi Milei Dami Beten Amurim B'chlauze. Of course, we are included in this. V'tzvichim Anachdun L'adav V'lavim. We have to recognize Shilumat Ha'oz V'achizot Shinarer Banu B'ritzon V'cheshek L'tkarev Al Hashem Mitzvotav Kach Nistaleka Hester V'otem Alei V'abam Mechabad Havanot Amavdilim. We may be in a case where we feel we're so far away from Hashem. We may be in a situation where we feel that our sins have just distanced us so tremendously there is no hope. No, he says, that whether it's an external awakening or an internal awakening, when you have a desire to come close, when you have that she'ifa, that desire, that hisavarus, that awakening, again, the external or the internal, has the ability to bring a person, yep, all the way closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ubisaurus haratzon amiti bevaday yeshuv leor beor achayim. For sure, you're going to be able to come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it opens up all of these closed parts of us. So this is a very, very powerful idea. That when we're looking at what the Jewish people did in action, tremendous emunah, that had the ability on a like energy level to magnetic pull to bring these higher souls, Rut, Ruch, Yisro, Rachav, in this case, Ruth, later on into Klal Yisrael, if something happens that's going to inspire them, know that this idea of inspiration, being able to pull and have this magnetic pull, doesn't only work by Gerim, which is what we're speaking about here. Mashmu Shamau Ba, what was it? It was the Emunah of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Emunah of Amalek, right? Looking up at Moshe Rabbeinu's hands and davening, Mishtavening, Levam, davening to Hashem. It's true of all of us as well that there is when we are motivated, when we open ourselves up to Emunah, know that it draws that part of us that is distant, almost like that gear, that foreign part of us that is so, you know, devoid of Kedusha, that has the ability to be drawn closer. A final approach on this first level, where what was motivating Yisroel was something that perhaps he couldn't even put his finger on. Like, he woke up one morning and said, well, I got to join the Jewish people. Gee, what is it? Like, and Chazal are giving us a certain understanding of what happened. So I'd like to share one more approach on this extrinsic level from the Masils Bavavam Rav Eisenberger. He quotes an idea from a Frumer who was the last Rav in the Chachmei Lublin, a sefer called Eretz Tzvi, source 13. And Hodul Hashem, we just had the schus of being involved in reprinting the Eretz Tzvi on Chumash and Mo'adim. So Hashkacha had it, it just came out. So Hashkacha has it that we're quoting an idea from the sefer in source number 13. And he says, V'nire, ki deki hotzi ena peirush asher hotzi. When it talks about the fact that Yisroel heard that Hashem took us out of Egypt, don't read it as Hashem took us out of Egypt. Rak deha, read it rather because He took us out of Egypt. Not that He took us out of Egypt, but because He took us out of Egypt. What does this mean? Rak tama lashmua de mishum hachi shama Yitro afshaya mitchila meruchak ma'od mekedusha. Yisroel, who was very far away from Kedusha, how could he, who had such a tumah, such impurity, how could he have come close to Hashem? Ach bavur shotzi Hashem et Yisrael meMitzrayim im ke'eklipos. But because Hashem took the Jewish people out from the depth of impurity, that enabled Yisroel to be free, to connect to Kiddushkeit. I mean, not so free, but emotionally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the connection here? So, again, he speaks about, very beautifully, he speaks about that it is the leaving of Egypt, when the Jews left Egypt, that facilitated Yisroel to be able to leave the confines that he was in and to embrace Yiddishkeit. And the way he develops it, again, this is what we're talking about here. It's like what the Jews do creates the reality, and the ripple effects are that these Gerim join up. He looks at it slightly different in terms of what was Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchamet Amalek. What was it that was the ability for Yisro to come? So he speaks about it, and I want to share this idea because there's one specific Nekuta here that I think is a take-home for our lives and something definitely to think about. He speaks about the concept of a Yishma Yisro, right? Yisro calling Midjan, Shama, he hears. What did he hear? What's the idea of hearing? So he speaks about in 13 and 14 that, you know, there's a concept of being of hardened heart, and you can be of a hardened ear. Well, what does a hardened ear mean? It means you hear, but you're not hearing, right? It's like when we say, I hear what you're saying, I don't only want you to hear what I'm saying, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Do you hear what I'm saying? Which means I want you to be able to take it and make it part of you. So often, and one of the greatest challenges we have is, we hear a lot of things, but it doesn't impact us. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make us a different person. One of the Sfarim I was in preparing came across a story, a small maisem, of a fellow who was learning a Gemara about one who helps an ani, who helps a poor person. It opens up the doors of rachamim in Shemayim. So this fellow, the way he learned was that he would repeat it over and over again in a beautiful tune so that he could be able to really learn and integrate what he's learning. So he's repeating this sentence over and over again in this beautiful tune, that one who helps a poor person is able to, you know, open up the doors of heaven and how important it is for Kula. As he's saying this sentence over and over again, there's a knock at the door, and he opens the door, and there's a fellow standing there, and the fellow said, Mazel Tov, I'm a chassim, I need money to make the wedding. And the fellow looks at him, and he points us to the shtender. He says, I'm busy learning now. I can't help you. And closes the door. Is he listening to what he's saying? He's saying it over and over again in a beautiful tune. But there's hearing and there's hearing. He's not listening. And so many of us listen, but we're not listening. We're not hearing. We're not integrating. And he goes on further. And this is an interesting question that the Sfarim bring down. What's a more powerful of the two, hearing or seeing? And you could argue it both ways. The Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say in the Shari Tshuva, "B'malach yuvicha chusha shmiya," that hearing is more powerful. After he speaks about how important seeing is, he speaks about the hearing, and he brings a pasuk from Shlomo Melech, the enlightening of the eyes makes a person's heart happy. Shmua tova tachem jeshet. However, when you hear good news, it like invigorates your whole being. Ozen shema tochachot chayim bekerv chachamim talim. And says Rabbeinu Yonah, the yesh l'cho chacham lev ladad, every wise person needs to know, that Shlomo HaMelech here is not saying words for naught, but rather he's teaching us, talking about, listen, divrei musa v'yiras Hashem, words of that we have to come closer to Hashem. Achein zeh peshar davar. This is what it means. Mori naim yismach lev, ha'ayin ever nichma ba'ot. Seeing is crucial. Ki ruba ha'marodim esamchim et ha'lev. You see the beautiful things that make you happy. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah, as much as you gain happiness with seeing something, you can't compare when you hear something. Hearing something, right? Hearing is a much deeper process, right? Hearing something makes it part of you, and that gives you that excitement. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, based on this, says, "Vim kol goldam al tal shala ayin." Nevertheless, chashivot miyuchedet zu no doubt l'shmiyat ha'ozen bovat. And he brings down here on a very practical level. So I wanted to share this before we're going to tie it into what was this thing that brought Yisro. This is very important for our day in, day out. Particularly in our day, in today's day and age, most people just send, you know, an email, a quick WhatsApp of, you know, good news. You know, I wanted to share with you birth of, engagement of. He says, Eino, and people think that, you know, I've been yotzei. He says, Eino dome to actually hearing it than just reading it. I guess in today's day and age, when people talk into these machines, you're actually hearing it. So I guess then you've been fulfilling this idea. Because when a person hears something, Eino dome to send somebody a quick note of good news to actually calling the person and sharing the good news. And in our day and age, we're quick to just what? To send off these quick notes. Ugh, it's such a schlep to call the person, v'chule, v'chule. Again, in today's day and age, if you have these fancy machines, I guess they're not so fancy. For me, they're fancy. I wouldn't even know what to do with them. I don't even know how to turn my cell phone on when I answer the phone. So we're pretty dark ages here. It creates a different power within the human body. B'chol zo chatzra sham hana'ah miyuchedet sheyesh b'shmua tovat Hashem etzem. The hearing the good news is what inspires a person. And that is Ba'ofen Amusari, double squiggling 16, Yeshkan Yitzon Nifla Lama'od, Bekoach Ozen Shema Tochon Chayim. This is a higher level, not just to read something, but to actually hear something and allow what you hear to impact you, within you, to integrate within you, and to become part of you. So now, my friends, we can appreciate. We've spoken about, and what's very famous, is that when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, their dibur, their speech, was in Galus. And the whole idea of Pesach was they went to the first place, it was Piach, he wrote, literally the mouth of freedom, Pesach, the mouth that speaks. The whole idea that you got it to Levincha, Haggadah, is that now our mouths are able to talk. Great. That's a very famous idea. This idea is not as famous, and it really goes hand in hand. And that is Be'eretz Mitzrayim Hayta Koach Hashmia Shoklai Yisrael B'Galus. In Mitzrayim, the ability to hear was in Galus. V'lo Shamu El Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Mavodah Kasha. They weren't able to listen to Moshe from all their hard work. That was the problem. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them and nothing penetrated. Their shmia, their ability to be able to integrate, was closed off. They weren't able to hear. I can't hear you. I'm not holding there. When Klal Yisrael left, gam chush hashmia shalem nitkadesh v'nitala. Part of the exodus was the ability to hear was extricated. They were able to listen. This is what is hinted at on Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu Et Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. On this day of Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem saves Klal Yisrael. And at the moment that Klal Yisrael are saved and they now have the ability to listen, as we've been speaking about, that energy to listen and to be able to penetrate wasn't something that they opened the gates just for Klal Yisrael. Those gates were open for the whole world. Shamu Amim Yergazun Chilacha Yoshei Plashe. All of the nations were able to hear. Chadashim levekarim anu megalim lishmo al dvarim harishim shekarim ba'olam. So often we hear things, but it doesn't penetrate us. This was the power of Klal Yisrael being able to hear. Then not only did they hear, but they enabled the nations as well to hear in a way that impacted them. As nivhalu alufei edom, yochavzei morad, that fear and trepidation overtook them. That was the greatness of Kriyas Yamsuf. And now, my friends, we can appreciate what it means that Yisrael heard. What does it mean, Yisrael heard? It means that when Klal Yisrael were able at Kriyas Yamsuf to be able to open up the pathways of listening, Yisrael was able also to be able to have that pathway open. And the truth be told is that all the nations of the world could have responded in the way Yisrael did. The greatness of Yisrael, and that was the power, says the Eretz Tzvi, of his elevated soul, is that when the Jewish people opened up this pathway of hearing, and hearing is not just to hear, but it's to integrate and to be able to change a person, Mashmua Shamova, Yisrael is able to hear and able to make these changes. And indeed, I think, my friends, the obvious lesson on this first level, that what motivated Yisrael to come were the things that Klal Yisrael did. So obviously we have to understand that we're not living our own small little lives, but what we do impacts the entire world, and we have to be very well aware of it. Not only are we the models, the role models for the world, but our very Torah and mitzvahs impacts individuals, impacts world world policy. This is the power, the more that we are connected, the more we're able to impact the world to be connected. That's on a global level, and on a personal level, the nations heard, Amalek heard, Bashmo Shamar Bad, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Amalek. Kriyas Yamsuf, the world was open to hearing. This is the contrast between Yisrael and Amalek. Amalek heard and decided to destroy the Jews, or try to destroy them. Yisrael was able to hear and integrate. And this is our lives. Says the Beis Av, the Gemara Brachos says, Lo nivru ra'amim elo livshot akmimus shebaleiv. Why was thunder created? To straighten out the crooked hearts. We rarely get thunder in Eretz Yisrael. We had it last week. And I was thinking about this Gemara, like, if it's going to thunder, and it was really, it was a pachad, it was a fear there. Like, it has to penetrate you, not just to hear and say the bracha, shavavu brasam aleolam, but what is that for you? What needs to be worked on? And there's a lot to be worked on. And hinei ra'amim gedolim nishmein b'ireinu, shod v'shever, etzolam ekram maridim, v'ayach lo nirav v'akol talui b'shmir. Whenever the Beis Av is writing this, it's contemporary. You can hear of terrible things happening. The question is, are we listening? And I think this is so obvious in the world we're living in now. In this age of Corona, it's almost a year now, 11 months. And the amount of people, O Aleinu, who've died, who are sick, and now in Eretz Yisrael, pregnant women and children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is screaming. Are we listening? Are we changing? You know, you can hear the news. You can read the news and you can hear the news and it impacts you. But does it impact you? The motto of Yisroel is that the Shmua, the hearing, has to be not just listening, but the listening that's going to change you. The entire world heard about the same events, but Jitro is the only one, Rabbi Fran, the power of a word in 20, who acted upon hearing about them. What this teaches above all is just how obtuse people can be. The vast majority of the world can live through mind-boggling miracles, and it won't have the slightest effect on them. They continue to live their lives as if nothing happened. How do we avoid falling into this? It's about Mashmua Shama Uva. What is Uva, and he came serve? The Gemara is teaching it's not enough to have our ears open to Hashem's messages. When we receive a jolt of inspiration from something that happens, we have to act on it. All the other people in the world heard about the fantastic miracles, and they even shuddered when they heard them. But then they allowed the inspiration to pass. He turned the inspiration into deed instead of allowing it to dissipate. It has to move us. It has to change us. And I think this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for from all of us. In what way are we different? In what way are we more giving people? What way are we more thankful people? What way are we more aware people? In what way are we holding? Okay, my friends, that's part one of the shiur. Mashmo Shamova, what was it that brought Yitro to convert, to come out into the desert? It's so difficult, and the answer is, it had nothing to do with Yisrael. It had to do with Klal Yisrael. It had to do with the Emun of Klal Yisrael. It had to do with the oaths, the strength of Klal Yisrael on Mount Sinai. It had to do with the Shmura, that the Klal Yisrael are able to listen. When all of this happened, Yisrael came. Yisrael was the byproduct of a Klal Yisrael affected. That's level one. Level two is no. Yisrael himself intrinsically wanted to come. And the impetus for him to come was Kriyas Yamsuf and Amalek. What is this about? So let's look at this on a number of levels. We'll begin with the Tosha Rabbi Avodah Vadan 23a. He says, Yitro saw all these miracles that happened, and he had already separated himself from idolatry. V'himtin, he was waiting, V'chilyone Naim, with bated breath, and Mataiya eight Mukshar Shuchalavo B'nei Yisrael. It's waiting. When is the most appropriate time to join Klal Yisrael, to be a Ger, and to be one of them? And he was looking and seeing, is there a sign? Is there something that, some spark that would tell him, now's a good time to come? So first, he saw Kriyas Yamsuf. He saw in Kriyas Yamsuf how Nivku'u Kol Mayanos HaChachma, all the gates of wisdom open, right? Water's representation of Chachma on a symbolic level, and in Mayim Ela Torah, and that's Kriyas Yam. Yam is 15 Gematria. He saw that the gates of understanding were open, the Chamishim Sharebina were open in front of them, and they were able to, right, is that Kalev Anveo? They were able to process Torah in a level that wasn't normal. The Kevan Shirahad, so once he saw this, Lamamize Shekvari Gia Esad Hiskalus HaTorah Livnei Yisrael, he realized that the Jewish people are almost about ready to get the Torah. They're there. However, he said to himself, but who am I? I can't join them. I didn't go through the experience of Mitzrayim that my soul was purified, that I would be able to stand with them to receive the Torah. So he felt, after Kriyas Yamsuf, he was drawn. He was drawn to the 50 gates of wisdom, but he realized he wasn't part of them. And then he heard about Melchamas Amalek. What's Melchamas Amalek about? Melchamas Amalek is about Kedei Laharot Bazel Livnei Yisrael, in the asterisk in 24, double underline, Ki Asaga Satara Tulia B'chol Adam Kefima Shalochem Im Koach HaMalek Asher B'Kirbo. That the way to receive Torah is not just that Hashem is going to open up, you know, the pathways of wisdom, but to know that to receive Torah is about you have to overcome that part of a Amalek in you. Right? It's like the Sur Meira and the Aseh Tov. You have to get rid of. You have to fight with the Amalek inside of you in order to be able to learn Torah. With this, Yisrael says, you know what? I too am able to get the Torah. Because I've also worked within this conceptual Mechias Amalek of eradicating Amalek. I've had to be able to get rid of and move myself far away from all the Avodah Zarah in this world and all the Taiva Saguf. Most of Avodah Zarah is about feeding into the desires of your body. I've also had to overcome this. This is 25. This is what Rashi means. Rashmu Shama Uvar. It's Olamar. Eza Shmu Shama. What did he hear? Asher Mena Hevin. That he understood. That now he could come. Lavoli Skaer. To be able to convert. Sharada Sagora Terash Yisig B'nei Sobek Kriyas Yamsuf. He saw how all of this wellsprings of wisdom was in front of them, and he also saw that these wellsprings is a gift to only those who work hard on getting rid of the Amalek in them. And in fact, getting ready to Purim is coming up in a month, we see this so clearly that Klal Yisrael in the times of Purim had to fight Amalek. They had a mamish get rid of the Amalek in them. And they had a besakam ubitanisam. They had a fast. They had to put on sackcloth. And what was the result? After they really got rid of the Amalek within them, then kimu v'kiblu, then they were able to receive the Torah. It's like Torah is not just, you know, a free gift to anyone who wants. Torah has a prerequisite to it. And the prerequisite to Torah is struggle. Prerequisite to Torah is working on who and what you are to get rid of those negative character traits within you. And that's why we say every day, and it helps us understand this in 27, we ask in Ava Rabba, one of the most beautiful tefillos, V'tein b'libeinu bina lahavinu laskio lishmo alumo rilame. We ask Hashem, give us wisdom and understanding to be able to learn Torah, v'erineinu b'sarasecha, open our eyes to Torah. So if Torah was just, you know, like you can just sit down and learn, we wouldn't have to ask for it. Ma'inyan bakashazu. Why am I asking for this? No, in order to have Torah, you need a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya, a tremendous amount of help from above. V'zet talui in the asterisk in 27, b'chol adam kefi mashu lochem im koach ha'molek ha'shib yakirbo. And this is The prerequisite is fighting the Amalek in you. That you have to be matar nafsho mikol levodah shivzara. Purify yourself from any aspect that is foreign to you. Your midos roles, your tevels. The more a person works on Torah, the more it's theirs. That's why, you know, someone thinks, oh, I can sit back and learn. And you know, it's funny. My daughter was showing me, it doesn't matter who, what, where, an illustrated Tehillim. There are quite a number out there, so I'm not pointing my fingers at anyone. And there was a picture of a, like a lake and swans, whatever, and a person sitting back in a chair with a book. So she shows me this picture. She says, Ima, what's wrong with the picture? I don't know. Nothing looks wrong with me. Look closely, Ima. Okay. I don't know. What? So she says, how is it that he's leaning back and learning Torah? That's not how you learn Torah. This isn't like, you know, relaxation by the pool. Torah, you're leaning over. Torah, it's a struggle. Right? That nakuda that she was pointing out in the picture is what we're saying here. That Yisrael understood that he had the ability to come because he struggled. And struggle is part of learning. You know, people think in the outside world it's just about accomplishment. In Yiddishkeit, the struggle itself is the accomplishment. This, my friends, is idea number one. Idea number one of what was intrinsic that enabled Yisrael to come was he was waiting for the right moment. He was waiting to see whether he had the ability to be a card-carrying member as well. When he saw Just Priyas Yamsuf, he wanted it, but he wasn't sure he was worthy of it. When he saw Mechamas Amalek about struggle, he said, you know what, I can come now. I fit into that category of struggle. I've had my own struggles, and now I too can be part of this card-carrying nation. That's idea A on level two. Idea number B is a Dutch raga. Again, El Shelahi Mashmua Shama Uvanu Kayer of Grossberg. What was it that brought him into that desert to say, I'm converting, I'm not staying home? And why specifically these two things, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamat Amalek? Yesh Levoyer in the bracket in 29, Shehine Bishas Kriyas Yamsuf, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Rasa Shivcha Layam, a maidservant saw what Yecheskel ben Buzi didn't see. They saw Hakol Bechush. They saw it so clearly. They were able to point. Zeke Levan Vehu. And nevertheless, short time afterwards, Rafu Yudei Mina Torah, they became weakened in Torah, and they said, Hayesh Hashem Yekirbenu Im Ayin, is Hashem with us or not? Vayavo Amalek. When he saw the two things together, when he saw that a person can reach the greatest of heights and have such incredible clarity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then fall, and then reach levels, God forbid, a kfira, he says, you know what? I can't just sit here and rely on my own logic and my own thought process. There is no guarantee that today you're a believer and tomorrow you're not. It is Kriyas Yamsuf with Milchamet Amalek, the two together, that they could reach such great heights and such low in such a short time that Yisro said, I can't rely on myself. And it goes further than that. Rav Schlesinger and Ela Dvorin points out the idea of Milchamet Amalek. What's the war of Amalek? And it's the Milchama Ba Hashem Midor Dor. It's the Milchama with Hashem in every generation. It's not the war of Amalek, of the winning of the war, right? That's why I say Milchamet Amalek, the war of Amalek. Because the war of Amalek is the Milchama Lashem Midor Dor from every generation. It's the war of Suffolk. It's the war of doubt. Where Amalek comes in and asks, is Hashem with us? Is Hashem not with us? That's the voice of Amalek. That's the voice of the Nachash. That's that voice when, you know, we say, is this really true? Is this really where I should put my efforts? Did Hashem really give us the Torah? Are all these mitzvahs really worth doing? Are the Chachamim, do they really know what they're talking about? When you start having those voices, those are the voices of Amalek. And Yisro understood that it's so easy for these voices, even if you have the greatest clarity, for these voices to creep into you. And therefore, in Source 32, Adam shemagia l'matzav shel irur v'chosav bitocho, when a person reaches this level of instability and a lack of faith, l'matzav shebo natun l'tzveikot ha-derech ha-yidpidayi l'fnot el ha-rav el ha-barei derech. You need to have a Rebbe. Yisro understood that being home alone is not going to help him. He's going to be living, perhaps, in a world of doubt, in a world of confusion. And my friends, we know, right, Mitzvah Stavid, since people think it's a Chazal, it's Mitzvah Stavid, Ein Simcha Ela Kehatara Satzfekos. There's no other joy like the resolution of doubt. People can't live in a world of doubts. It just, whatever doubt it is. Should I take this job or that job? Should I marry this person or not? All of these worlds of doubts, a person can't sleep at night. People like to have, you know, where they're holding. Yisro understood, I'm going to schlep out, he says, to the desert. Because if I stay home, I may land up in this world of doubt. And this world of doubt is so painful and so unlivable that it's worth schlepping into the desert to be able to have a Rebbe Mufak, to be able to have a teacher, to be able to have a mentor. Now, when you have these questions, you're able to ask, you're able to get direction, and all of us need this. All of us need to know that wherever we're holding in life, a Malach creeps in. And what Yitro is teaching us is that when that happens, respond with finding yourself a mentor, finding yourself a teacher, finding yourself somebody who can anchor you in what the truth is about. The Siva Shalom flips this around a little bit, slightly, quoting the Divrei Shmuel, and he says, Shagam achar shekol olam nizdazeya bekriyas yamsuf, after the whole world was shaking bekriyas yamsuf, you can still have an Amalek come and say, who really cares? You think it's such a big deal. Let me show you that they're not invincible. And it's not only the doubt on our part, it's to show you that there exist in this world people who are unimpressed and who are out there to just show you that, you know, you can't be sure of anything. And therefore, what Yisro learns here is very clear, and that is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We don't believe because, with every sentence you want to put, we don't believe because we saw miracles. We don't believe because of Kriyas Yamsuf. We don't not believe because of Amalek. We don't believe because it makes sense. We don't believe because the scientists say we don't. We have one crucial idea. And this is the message that Yisro, Mashmo Shama Oba, what is Yisro come? He comes because he says, I need an anchor. Yisro becomes the name of the Parsha, Mamad Er Sinai. Yisro is teaching us this Parsha that the anchor for every single Jew who may be in this quandary that Yisro is feeling, like, how can I be sure? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, this is, I am Hashem. It's not about this reason or that reason. It's emuna pshuta. It's a simple belief that Hashem has told us. Mizera Yitro 35, Shekola Chakiros Lo Yo'ilu. What Yitro learned is all of these back and forths aren't going to help. You need to have simple emuna, and that's with the mitzvahs as well. I'm not doing a mitzvah. It's nice to honor my parents. It's nice to help somebody. No, it may be nice. Don't get me wrong. Yes, no. But that's not the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded me. And even when it's not nice, and even when it's difficult, I'm still ready to do this. This is what, as Moshe says in 36, Rav Scheinerman, Shekevan Shishama Kriyas Yamsuf L'Charesh Shuv V'Mechamar Amalek Ra'ash Asur Lo La'adam L'Smoch Al Sichlo. You can't rely on your wisdom. Because if you rely on your wisdom, you can see that that can just fall apart very quickly. That Amalek was able to make, to affect that impression of Kriyas Yamsuf very quickly. You can't just go on what you hear and what you experience and what you feel. Judaism is not like this touchy-feely, it makes sense to me type of religion. It's, you can't rely on your seichel. You have to know that this is a seichel aluki, this is a divine wisdom. My friends, let's take a look at one final idea. We'll skip one because of the time. We'll end with one final idea. Again, on the external level, what brought Yitro? What brought Yitro was Klal Yisrael's Amuna, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechamed Amalek. What brought Yisrael is Mamad Har Sinai, the O's, the strength, when those, you know, that opening of coming close to Hashem is open, we all have the ability, the doors are open to rush through. What brought Yisrael was the Shmua, the ability to hear. And that's why it's interesting that the Haggadah, if you're by yourself, you ask yourself the question. What do you mean, you ask yourself the question? Just read it to yourself. No, because part of the Haggadah, the speech, is not just to speak, it's to listen. It's to hear. You have to be able to internalize it, right? We don't just, you know, silently read the Haggadah. We read it out loud, not just for the reading, for the listening. For that aspect, which we normally don't focus in on, that opened the gates for Yisro, for him to hear and to be impacted. Second level is intrinsic. Yisro wanted to convert. He was waiting for the appropriate moment when he saw about the Amalek that you have to fight and work on yourself. He says, I'm in. This is perfect for me. The second aspect is when Yisrael saw that you can reach the greatest of heights and then fall. When he sees that the nations could be affected and then Amalek says, no big deal. He says, you know what? You can't just rely on what you see and what you think. It's too volatile. It's too fragile. You have to have a Rebbe. You have to have an anchor. You have to believe because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, period. Emunah Pshuta. I do mitzvah not because it makes sense to me, because then this one won't make sense to me, or I'm not in the mood. It's because the Ribono Shel Olam commanded me. There is, however, one final idea. What brought Yitro? What brought Yitro was the comparison between Amalek and Klal Yisrael. And I'd like to share very briefly, we're really out of time, so we'll move to 41. Rav Elia Lopian asked on the Rashi, we can understand how the miracles of the Red Sea influenced Yisro, but what was so moving about the war with Amalek? He replied, at times the best way to appreciate Torah values for living is to observe the behavior of those who lack those values. Amalek also heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. They themselves were in no danger from the Israelites, right? They weren't in their territory. Nevertheless, they cruelly tried to wipe them out. Hearing this, Yisrael was moved. He realized how one needs the Almighty in his life for basic values. Rav Moshe says the same thing in source number 40. You can look at it at your own leisure. Compare Amalek, who's coming for no reason, just to destroy Jews for no reason, just because we want to. Compare those moral and values to Kriyas Yamsuf. And in particular, and this idea we'll end with, it is stunning. Says the Sefer Ha'aros, Rav Zadel Epstein, Zatzal. He says, there was one nekuda about Kriyas Yamsuf that perhaps inspired Yisro to come. And when Yisro heard this, he says, I want to join such a people. This was the Makev HaPatish. What was it? Kriyas Yamsuf, we know in the bracket, there were 12 different paths for each Shevet. Good. We also know that there was water between each one of the paths, and the water hardened, and it became Kechalonos Chuchit, Shuchal Arod Isha Reyehu, that they became windows, panes, that you could see one to another. So it wasn't like a tunnel where you couldn't see. It was like a glass tunnel, right? 12 glass tunnels where you could see your friend from the next tribe. So ask Rav Epstein, hello, in a few hours they'll see their friend from the next tribe. Why was it necessary in the middle of Kriyas Yamsuf to have this extra miracle? Listen to this, my friends. Vadavar sarich ksat biyur bishlam, I bet rochim I can appreciate, but why was this necessary? And he says, Shezehu tafkido vavarto kolz man kiyumo levarer vorsem achduto yibarach einod mevado pidarko, tunato matzavo. Okay, I understand 12 paths, 12 different ways to appreciate Hashem, but why the mechitzah like a window. And he says, "Sheyesh po limud gadol v'toelet rabba shenuchal gam anu l'lod b'zeh." Chazal were teaching us that the greatness of Klal Yisrael is, listen to this bracket, double underlying about it, Shekol echad haya kol kach karuch v'kashur l'sheni. Every Jew was so intimately involved with his friend. Ad shelo haita simcha shlema v'gula im lo ra'u shegam chavero nitzal. No Jew could be happy crossing the sea unless he knew that his friends were also okay in crossing the sea. If he is okay and his friend isn't okay, then he isn't okay. Then he, chaser lo hakol, he's missing everything. This is the level that Yisrael wanted to become part of. That it wasn't enough for Klal Yisrael to cross over the sea and only think about themselves. They had to be able to see that on either side of them, the other tribes were also crossing safely across Yam Suf. The only way a Yid could be happy is when he sees that his friend is also okay. That his friend is also happy. Madrega zu shekolecha yirtzeh b'shleimut v'osher chaveros. When you want the best for your friend, that's the level of the Malchei Mala. And that's what we say in our davening. That they turn each one, Kedusha kulam ke'echad onim ve'omrim in 43, that the angels turn to one another, asking permission from one another, so that they can say Shira, Kadosh, 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 together. And Tosos brings down that any angel that jumps the gun and says, I want to sing Shira first, is burned, is destroyed. Because the godless of angels, whatever this may mean, the godless of Klal Yisrael is the unity. Vayichan Sham Yisrael neged Ahar. Ilu kervanim zayar sinev lo natalanu the Torah dayenu. Vayichan. That each one found chayim, favored each other. That's what Yitro heard. That's what Yitro wanted. He saw the poor midos of Amalek and contrast that with the greatness of Klal Yisrael. How each Jew cares about the other Jew and wants the best for the other Jew. And it's only the simcha and joy when another person is that way. Where Klal Yisrael emulate the malachim, the angels. When Yisrael heard this, Mashmua Shamova, he said, such a nation, such a type of people is the type of people I want to be. How can I live in my own home? In my own Dalet Amos, there's going to be no joy. The great joy is to live among people who care about each other, who feel the pain and the joy of each other. Rabosai, as we are going through such a difficult time, we know that none of us can be able to really live our lives b'simcha while so much pain is going on. The Tehillim, the extra mitzvot, our whole focus is how can we bring the world, the Jews, the Magefa, how can we bring the Midas Adin into Midas Arachamim? And perhaps this is part of the mindset that we should learn. When we really care about another as if it's our own, and we go out and see how I can help another. This person is in Bidud, and this person is sick, and this person, lo aleinu, lost a family member. This person financially is in a very difficult place. There are so many Jews who need help. What Yitro heard is what we need to hear, but really hear, is that the only way that we can really be in a full shleimus state is when we make sure that those around us are as whole as possible, and that we look over our shoulder and see, how can I be of help? How can I impact? How can I give encouragement? How can I give financial aid? Then we are living up to the model that Yisrael saw by Kriyas Yamsuf.